Amen. So I'm super excited about this new series we started, Reagan, last Sunday, called Living on a Prayer. And I played a clip of a song last week, and man, I have not seen some of y'all move like that ever. I mean, it's amazing what happens when you put a little Bon Jovi on in church. Now I know what you're capable of. You're busted now. I mean, some of y'all were just flat out rocking. But this morning, we're going to keep talking about living on a prayer. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm living on a prayer. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, I'm happy to be sitting with you. I want to begin with this thought today. God wants to answer your prayer. I know that sounds super simple, but we're gonna set some things right today. God wants to answer your prayer. I said, God wants to answer your prayer. Let me try it again over here. God wants to answer this side's prayer. And he wants to answer the balcony's prayers. And he wants to answer this side of the church's prayers. And he wants to answer all the church's prayers. It was the fall of 1997. I had graduated from high school. I had moved out as quick as I could. It was my first semester of college. I was working at the Home Depot. And you got to understand where I was at in my life. I was a spiritual train wreck. I grew up in church, but I ran like hell. I was a hot mess. I was toe up from the flow up. But I was praying these prayers in my life because I didn't want to live the way I was living, but I was seeking God, and I was saying things like, God, if you're real, God, if you're there, God, if you care, God, do you love me? Does any of this sound familiar? We've all been there, that searching that goes on the inside of us. And so I had gone to the car wash. At that point, I was driving a night. I know people in terms of cars. Somebody say, do you know such and such? What do they drive? I can tell who you are by your car. I was driving a 1989 Mustang LX, 5.0, 5-speed. And I had gone to the car wash, and sometimes I'd wash the engine on my car. So I'm like, you're a total freak. But yeah, I'd wash the engine on my car. I'd spray it down, and then I'd hit it with that, I'd hit it with that Armor All and let that sucker heat up and cook, and it looked like brand new. And so I'd gone to the car wash, and I'd done that very thing, and I was sitting there, and when I got back in the car and I went to roll the key over, the car wouldn't start. I'm like, great, what am I going to do? Who am I? We didn't have phones then. We had pagers. Y'all remember pagers? We could speak to each other with numbers. Some of y'all are like, what's a pager? We had pagers, and so I didn't have any way of getting a hold of anybody, and it was just a low moment where I was really discouraged about a lot, and I remember just laying my hands on the dash, and I begin to think to myself of that scripture, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, where Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Now remember, I'm testing the waters, I'm not living right, and I'm just like, God, are you there? And so I went back to what I knew worked. I didn't have anybody else to turn to, so I turned to God. And I laid my hands on the dash, and I said, Father, I just ask in Jesus' name that you'd help me tonight, and I pray that this car would start. And so when I was done praying, I began to thank God, and I began to say, Father, thank you that this car is going to start when I roll that key over. So I was stepping out in faith already, believing that I had received what I'd asked for. I didn't beg God. I believed God. Let me try that again. I didn't beg God. I believed God. And so I rolled that key over and that car fired up. And let me tell you, that spoke loud and clear to my heart. That God was there, and God was alive, and God was real. Now, I bought and sold cars all the time. Cars were my life. Matter of fact, they were an addiction I had to become delivered from. Automobile was my language. It runs on the pain side of my family. Anna shares that lead foot. We're all just drivers. But by the time I was 22 years old, I had 9 cars, 3 trucks, 2 SUVs, and a motorcycle. So I was running through them. I'd buy them and build them and race them and wreck them. And I had a 69 GMC pickup that I absolutely loved. And it was Hugger Orange. And all the body trim on it was shaved, and it had the stock steel wheels, 275 60s on it. I built a small block Chevy 350 that I went all the way through. It had a Saginaw 3 on the tree, Harry, if you remember them. And I swapped that thing over to a Muncie 4 on the floor. And so I could grab gears in it. I mean, it just sounded right, Mark Borek. It had full-length headers on it. It was just slick little rig. It was a lead sled. And so I was trying to sell it, and I couldn't sell it. I couldn't get any bites on it, and I had listed it in Auto Trader, and the phone calls had run dry. And I remember working at Home Depot as a lot loader, and I was at work, and I was frustrated that I couldn't get rid of the thing. And again, Mark 11:24 comes to mind. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And so I begin to do that. I begin to say, Father, I thank you for sending me a buyer for my truck today. And as the shift would go on and I'd think about it again, I'd just, you know, doubt have the opportunity to creep in. God's not going to send you a buyer. Nobody showed up before. Father, I thank you for sending me a buyer today. A little bit more time would go on, and you know how doubt tries to crowd out your faith. And I'd say, Father, I thank you for sending me a buyer today. And when I got home from my shift that night to our little apartment, I remember seeing the answering machine. We had answering machines that were boxes, and they had cassette tapes in them. And they had a red flashing light. If you had a red flashing light, and that was the equivalent of Facebook likes today. Okay, it meant somebody liked you enough to call. Really, it was just a bill collector or something. But I went over to that thing, and I was excited. I had an expectation on the inside of me, and I hit that play button, and sure enough, there were calls waiting on me for somebody to buy that truck. And so now I'm 2 for 2 at this point, and God's really got my attention, because not only is God showing me that he's there, not only is God showing me that he cares, but I serve a pretty cool God that speaks car. And so God wants to answer your prayers. Let me say it like this today. God wants to answer my prayers. Can we say that together? God wants to answer my prayers. Let's say it again. God wants to answer my prayers. One more time. God wants to answer my prayers. And what we need to do today is dismantle this idea that has been lingering for so long in so many of us and in so many houses of worship that says, well, hold on just a minute there. You just never know. Sometimes prayer might work and sometimes it might not. Sometimes God answers prayer. Sometimes he just leaves you there. Sometimes it is his will, and sometimes it's not. So we just never know. We kind of throw a prayer up like Russian roulette. We leave it in God's hands, and we say things that sound spiritual, but really they're offensive in the ears of God. And we say, God, if it be your will, and we kind of put it back in his court, and we're happy to accept nothing. But what I want to say to you today is that is not what the Bible teaches. And if you've got a Bible today, I want you to open it this morning to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Now, I've read it to you twice, but we're going to walk through some scriptures. And I encourage you to take notes, because this may be the most important message you've ever heard. Actually, this message is the reason why John Weil is sitting here. And he just celebrated 3 years that he's been on staff full-time with us. Can y'all believe it's already been 3 years since that happened? Would you let him know how much you love him? Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, this is the first message he ever heard. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you might have them. Is that what it said? Am I reading a trick Bible? I want you to see it in your Bible. Don't take me at my word, take God at his. Amen? Believe that you receive them and sometimes you'll get it. He said, you will have them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, keep on asking and you might receive. You will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the front door will be open for you. For everyone, somebody say, that's me. Somebody say, that's me. For everyone who asks, what? Isn't that interesting? Well, you just never know. Well, that's not what the Bible said. Everyone who seeks, what? Find. Somebody say, I find when I seek. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Somebody say, when I knock, God opens. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God gives good things to those who what? Who ask him. Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayers. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst." Thank God that he's here today. Would you just let him know how much you appreciate his presence? But he says, if any two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them. Does that sound like you just never know? Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayers. I'm going to convince you today. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And whatever things you ask in what? Somebody say, living on a prayer. Believing you might receive it. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayer. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Are there any believers in the house today? Okay, now Jesus is talking to you. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayer. That the Father might be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, I love this because he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, he's the living word. And he said, you will ask what you desire. There's a very interesting point here. If you abide in Jesus and his word abides in you, then can I tell you, you ask what he desires. Because his desires become your desires. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. And whatever we ask, we what? Come on, say it like you believe it. God wants to answer my prayer. Come on, God wants to answer my prayer. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. How many of you believe in Jesus? Oh, great, you're already halfway there. And love one another as he gave us command it. How many of you are in love with everybody that you're worshiping with this morning? We love each other, amen? Come on, then you're batting 100%. God said you'll have what you asked for. Can you give him praise that there's faith and love in this house this morning? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able, how many of you know we have a God who's able? How many of you know we have a God who's able? Able to heal the sick, able to raise the dead, able to answer your prayers, able to meet your needs, able to turn your loved one around. I said, we serve a God who's able. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we, what? Ask or even think, according to the power that works where? On the inside of us. The Amplified says, far above and all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. God is able, God is willing, and God is ready to do in your life. One last time, just say real loud, God wants to answer my prayers. Now, I tricked you. That's not the last time, but you sounded real good. Year is 1999. It's March 17th. I went to Columbus, Ohio. I was finishing my degree in Oklahoma City for business and accounting. God had called me to ministry. It radically saved me. I was going to look for a Bible college. I get on a plane in Oklahoma City, and I make a connecting flight in St. Louis, and then I make my way on that red eye to Columbus, Ohio. While I was there, God speaks to my heart about going to Bible college at World Harvest Bible College there in Columbus. And so I needed a job. Now, it's March, and I wouldn't be leaving until August. I wouldn't be there until August 1st. And so I began asking God for a job, and again, I went back to what I knew, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And so I remember leaving there, and as I was praying about the things God had revealed to me, I began asking for a job. Now, I was working at a bank at that point, and I was making, I think, $7 and some cents an hour, and back then, that was pretty decent. That was okay, and I might have been bumped up to 8 1/4, but I really reached out there in my faith, and I asked God for a job that would pay me $12 an hour. Now, that was a stretch, because I didn't know anybody making $12 an hour that was going to school, and so every day I would thank God, Father, I thank you for that job that's going to pay me $12 an hour. I thank you that it'll have benefits, and I thank you that it'll work with my school schedule, but I went farther than that. I added this on. I said, Father, I asked that that job would come find me the first week I'm there. Well, 4.5 months later, 950 miles away, when I showed up, I went out to eat at P.F. Chang's to eat some Chinese that night with my two roommates. And one of my roommates just happens to bring up during the course of our conversation that a friend of his had just got hired at a place called Safe Light Auto Glass. And I said, oh, really? And I said, what does he make there? And he said, $12 an hour. And so I called that place, and I got an interview there, and I went, and they hired me. Can I tell you that God has the ability to hear your prayers? And when you ask, and you seek, and you knock, He opens, He responds, and He answers. And 4.5 months later, 950 miles away, God was already making the rough place smooth and the crooked path straight, and He had already prepared a place for me. Why? Because of the power of prayer. Whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Can I tell you today that God is not a respecter of persons? He is a respecter of faith. God didn't do it for me because of me. He did it for me because of faith. Faith is what causes God to pass over the multitudes just to get to you. I come to tell somebody sitting in Victory Church at 9 o'clock this morning that your faith is enough to answer your prayers. Your faith is enough to move your mountain. All you need is faith like a mustard seed, Jesus said. Can I tell you, He's already given you that faith, and all you've got to do is step out and begin using what He's already deposited on the inside of you. Fast forward with me 4 years. It's September 2004. During the process of that 4 years, I've gotten married. Praise Jesus. I love marriage still after 16 and a half years. She's more my best friend today than she ever has been. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God didn't just give me a job during that time, but I was also praying for a wife the exact same way. And I was praying for specific things about her. And can I tell you, God did exceedingly and abundantly above all I could even ask or think when He sent me that beautiful brunette that's got blue eyes from Canton, Pennsylvania, and He put her in the seat behind me on that same airplane that I had taken from St. Louis to Columbus. And little did I know I was getting more than peanuts and pretzels. I was getting a new wife with that plane ticket. Can you say amen today? God is able to answer your prayer, whatever it might be. But we got married. It's 4 years later. We had moved back here. Now, I just came back for one summer. I brought Marcia back to see her dad. He had had open heart surgery, I think a quadruple bypass. And I had brought her back, and I was praying about what God would have us to do. I had been here for about 2 years at that point. Funny how God works. A summer turned into 2 years. And we were busy doing everything we could. The Lord opened a door. He began to lay on my heart that year about beginning a church in Troy in the summer of 2004. And so it's September now, and we're standing on the steps of that little white church at 180 Center Street. And I remember on that Tuesday, whenever they showed us the church, asking God for that building. For 120 years, it had been in the Church of Christ. They had closed their doors for the last time. Their members had all gone into nursing homes or passed away. And we needed a church. I knew how important it was for us to have a place that was established so we could grow. I knew how important it was for a church to not be bouncing around. And so I went back to Mark chapter 11, verse 24, on the day we looked at the building. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And on that day, I asked God, Father, I ask you you for this building so that we could build your kingdom and bring you glory. I pray that we would have a permanent place to meet every single week that people can come and connect with you. And I added something to that prayer. I said, God, I pray that it would only cost us $1 and only that to make it legal. And so every day I'm thanking God. Father, I thank you for that building. I thank you that it's ours free and clear. I thank you that it's not going to cost us any more than $1 and only that to make it legal. Can I tell you that 6 months later, it was March of 2005, and I walked into the office of Brand Williams Caldwell and Sheets. And at that point, Louise Clegg, who many of you know, they've moved on from here now, but she was working in the office, and she had called me, and I said, Louise, what do I need to be ready for that? And she said, really, you don't need anything. And I said, is it going to cost me anything? And she said to me, $1 and only that to make it legal. So here's a startup church that all of a sudden has a building available where we got to grow for the next few years and have a place to stay. Can I tell you the land you're sitting on today? It was the exact same way. I remember going to meet with the owner of this land June 30th, 2006. I met with him to discuss our plans and what we needed. We did not want to move outside of Troy. We wanted to stay right here. That's actually a satellite image, and that was a huge row of hemlocks that Calvin took an excavator in there and so delicately and gingerly removed every single one of them. Would y'all give Calvin a hand today? And I began talking to him about why we needed more land and more property and that we had outgrown the place where we were. And so when I left that meeting, I asked God for this property. And I believe we received it when I asked. And once again, we were all just coming into expectation. Those of us who knew, we kept it pretty tight-lipped because we needed it to go through before we said anything to everyone publicly. And I remember writing down, to God be the glory, it's ours, free and clear. And then I wrote down Mark 9:23, which says, all things are possible to him that believes. And I also wrote down Ephesians 3:20, which says, unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so every day I begin thanking God, Father, I thank you for that property. I thank you that it's ours. I thank you, God, for working this situation out. I thank you for giving us a new home to grow and expand. 4 months later, 4 months go by, the owner calls and he says he has a proposal. Month after month goes by after that. The whole time we're believing, we're expecting. Every day we're thanking and praising God. A year and a half later, we walk into that same attorney's office and we closed on this property for 11.68 acres and we wrote a check for the entire property and it was ours free and clear. Now that was the Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him who believes. But remember, I also wrote down Ephesians 3:20, which says, far above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. We had no idea the gas boom was going to take place and that 1 year after that we would sign a lease that was actually worth more money than what we paid for the property. And so we got back every cent we paid for the property plus $1,600 because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond anything you ask or think. So you've got to understand where you're sitting today and what you're a part of. You've got to understand that you're sitting in a house built by prayer. You've got to understand that you are here because somebody prayed that God would send you. You've got to understand that every soul you see saved, it begins with somebody that cried out in prayer in a secret place, alone, away from people, asking God for your soul to come into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it's the same prayer Jesus prayed in Psalms chapter 2, verse 8 that says, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Victory Church is proof that God wants to answer your prayers. Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayers. Now, it's not hard to believe that God wants to answer your prayer when you already know he said he would do it. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. It's the desire of God. And faith begins where God's will is known for your life. So you've got to believe that God wants to answer not just your neighbor's prayers, but your prayers simply because he said he would do it. And the reality is, it's not hard to receive from God when you know it's something he wants to do. We've got to get a new view of our Father in heaven. Can you say amen today? And so let's reset it with his word. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to what? To give you the kingdom of God." Matthew 7, 11. "How much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" James chapter 1, verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father." Hallelujah. So that means that we don't beg people who are willing. I said, we don't beg people when they're willing. We have a willing God this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" If he gave you Jesus, how much more is he going to give you everything else you need? Why don't you give him praise today for the greatest gift of all, and that is his son and our Savior. But for so long, Satan has twisted our perception of who God is, like we're beggars hoping for a few scraps that fall from heaven's table. But God is ready, God is willing, and God is able to answer your prayers. Somebody say, God wants to answer my prayers. Somebody say, I'm not a beggar. I am a believer. Let's say it again. I'm not a beggar. I'm a believer. I'm not a beggar. I am a believer. In Jesus' name. See, for too long, we've lived in the dark, but today we step into the light of His truth, a truth that has the power to set us free. And we've got to stop acting like we've got a Father who has locked us out of the house and left us in the cold. Can I tell you today, you have a right to this. Let me try that again. You have a right to every single thing. I about had a right to a hospital visit right there. You have a right to every promise God has made. The promises of God are yes, and they are amen. The greatest yes you could ever receive, Wendy, is Jesus. He already proved that God wants to give you everything He's deposited on the inside of you. God's best belongs to you today, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. If you're thankful this morning that you get to live on a borrowed blessing, I dare somebody to get happy and just act like you're grateful for what He did. It's already in layaway, and we got to go pick up our stuff. Well, somebody says, Josh, isn't that kind of bold? And the answer is yes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Let me show you that that's okay. This is the confidence. Somebody say confidence. That we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of Him. God wants you to have confidence when you come before Him. Somebody say, well, Josh, what if my prayers don't get answered? Well, welcome to the club. I remember whenever I first started preaching, I was preaching at a church, and man, I was as wet behind the ears as I could be. And I had a little boy that was, he had a twin brother, and he came up to me. And I mean, this kid was little. And he comes up to me and he goes, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to explain. Holy Spirit, help me. Why this kid's dog didn't get healed. Why his grandma's sick or something. And my mind is automatically going to worst case. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Your mind goes to just the worst possible situation. And I was so glad because before I opened my mouth, he says, I prayed and I prayed that I could become Spider-Man, and I'm not Spider-Man. The reality is, we've all had prayers that didn't get answered. If you've had an unanswered prayer, just wave at me. Okay, so look around today. We're all in the same boat. But the reality is, that's how you learn to pray more effectively. We don't quit. We don't give up. I want you to think about baseball players. Every single baseball player that plays the game has struck out. Every single hero in the Hall of Fame, Chris, has struck out. I would be willing to venture, John had this thought this week, that some of the greatest sluggers in the history of the game were probably some the people that struck out the most, but they were willing to take a chance and swing for the fence. No baseball player ever says, well, what if I step up to the plate and I strike out? Because the reality is they all strike out. As a matter of fact, if you only hit 3 out of 10 If you get 3 out of 10 hits every time you go to the plate, you'll end up in the Hall of Fame. Babe Ruth's batting average was only .342. And the reality is, as my pastor would say, you win some, you lose some, and some get rained out. But when tomorrow comes, you get back up to the plate and take another swing. And there are some believers here today that haven't given up on God, but you've given up on prayer. And I come to tell you that you win some and you lose some and some just get rained out. But when tomorrow comes, you're going to get back up to the plate and you're going to ask again. You're going to seek again. You're going to knock again. Why? Because you've got a God who is faithful to his word and he will do what he said he would do. Don't be shaken by unanswered prayers. God has not rejected you. God wants to answer your prayers. Don't be so afraid of asking the wrong thing that you stop asking anything. Don't be so afraid that God won't answer that you don't even bother. Don't be afraid to go after God. Don't be afraid to come into his presence boldly. God's not afraid of your messed up request. God's not afraid of your biggest needs. God's not offended by your big hairy prayers. God's not offended by your big hairy dreams. He's offended when we offer any less. We got a big God, and it's time for us to start believing in bigger things. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. My God, if we got a hold of this today, we would shake this region. We would shake our families. Oh God, let it sink in our spirits today. Never again let us doubt you. But Father, let us learn every time we don't see you come through the way we wanted to. And Father, through faith and patience, I pray that we would inherit every promise you have ordained for us to receive. I want to say to you today again that God wants to answer your prayers. Hebrews 11:6 says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans chapter 8 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, Tom, I want to tell you today that God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God is for us. We're on the winning side. God is for us. See, the reality is, when you read your Bible, you're only going to find one kind of God. You're going to find a prayer answering God. Come on, church. It's enough of this man-made religious malarkey that we've dumbed down the power of God and we've let doubt come in. Shame on us. And let us step up today and rise up in faith and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I'm asking for this, not only for my benefit, but I'm asking that you do it, that you be glorified. Because when the world sees that your God shows up like that, you're sitting in a place today that people are drawn to. Why? Because we've got a prayer answering God. And if he gave us land, and if he gave us a van, and if he gave us a building, then when we come to him for prayer needs, for cancers to go, for sickness to be healed, for marriages to be restored, I'm just too stupid to doubt him that he's going to show up and do what he said he's going to do. Somebody say, we believe it all. We believe it all. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are a prayer answering God. I bind doubt in the name of Jesus. I bind defeat. I bind discouragement. I bind fear in the name of Jesus. Every limitation on our prayer life, God, today we take it off. And we thank you that you're a God who speaks our language. We thank you that you're a God who is there and you care, that you love us and you want to show us that and you want to show others that. And you do it through answered prayer. And Father, we ask today that heaven be released, that the storehouses be opened up. Father, that when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, you're opening it. Father, we thank you today that it's done, not because we said it, but because you said it. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, come on, let's give him praise today.